Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday morning to you, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us here on this edition of the Private Officer Radio for this 29th day of June 2017. Broadcasting live this morning from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, just outside of the D.C. area. And we're just so, I was going to say wide awake this morning, but we're trying to be wide awake this morning. We've got a busy day ahead of us, a very busy schedule, but we want to start off the day right with this edition of the radio show because we do have quite a bit of news and things happening just like we always do. We're looking forward to getting on the road in the next couple of weeks doing a major state-to-state training seminar we're going to be doing in about seven states, so we're very excited about that. We're also planning our memorial service. We're going to tell you a little bit about that coming up in the next segment, and let's see, we've got quite a bit of other things to talk about. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. We're also going to take a couple of minutes today to talk about a training issue that I think is extremely overlooked, I guess, quite often when companies do their training. So we're going to be talking today about how to escape violence. We know that there are at least six different times when security officers and law enforcement are injured, assaulted, or even killed during these events. So we're going to talk about these six events and how to escape an environment of violence if you are unprepared to answer the threat. With that information, hopefully we'll be able to prevent security and law enforcement from being injured and unfortunately killed in the line of duty. We're also going to talk today about how you can get involved and how to follow us. We have that issue quite often where people ask, well, how can I get involved? How can I follow you? And how can I keep up to date? And all of that jazz. So we're going to answer that question for about the 30,000th time in the last 13 years, but that's okay. We have a lot of new listeners, and we always have a lot of new members, and we're thankful and happy about that. So we're gonna explain again how to contact us and how all of you, everybody, should really get involved. I've said this before. It's one thing to get a certificate and to say that you belong to an association. It's a whole different ballgame when you actually do belong. When you are part of something, and if you want something to hang on the wall, you can buy those online all day long. If you want to be part of something that's bigger than you, something that's going to be beneficial to others, if you want to be part of a growing organization that is all about training, supporting, recognizing private officers, then this is the place for you, and we're going to give you a play-by-play, if you will, step-by-step, how to get involved. Like I said, we've got so much happening, and this time of year, we're always very, very busy because besides the training, we do a lot of memorial services, and now, if all of that wasn't enough, guess what? I'm also on the road opening up brand new Armor College and Armor Tech campuses in five major locations right now, with four three or four others pending. So that just adds to the schedule. But that's okay. I love to travel. I love being behind the wheel. I love meeting new people and going. So everything is cool right now. But eventually, we're going to have to slow it down and probably bring on some more staff to do some of the things that I'm out here doing. But until then, we'll just keep rolling along and enjoying it as we go. Days on Earth are limited. Time is limited. Unfortunately, you know, I heard a song today that was talking this morning about the sand. You know, you can't flip over that sundial thing, the sand container there, and start over again. Life is going to end when that sand runs out. And so you just got to live as much as you can. Get as much of your time in one day. We are really going to be actively recruiting new members. We're going to be actively recruiting folks to open up schools. And we're going to be actively recruiting people who are interested in being on our committees, getting involved in the legislative process, helping in the benevolent services. And, well, when I come back here after the first break in the second segment, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about a whole lot of different things here on this edition of the Private Officer Radio. If you have questions while we're on the radio at any time, or if you're listening after the program is long done and over, you can email us at helpdeskprivateofficer.com. helpdeskprivateofficer.com. We will respond to your email immediately while we're on air or immediately after we receive your email, whatever time, day or night. One of the great things about POI that you may or may not realize is that we're actually a 24/7 operation, even at 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, midnight, holidays, Sundays, weekends. Yep, we're here. We've got somebody staffing 24/7. So you can send your emails, you can make your contact, and we will respond almost immediately. On the Facebook page, I recently noticed a thing. It says something about response. Is response fast? I guess they're talking about responding to people's comments and so forth. And I saw where we received a 100% response, meaning that we always answer the Facebook comments and get back with people who have questions. And that's because we're 24/7. It's not always me doing it, but we always have somebody, staff, around the clock who's monitoring our emails, our social media, and taking emergency calls. And in fact, we just got an emergency call during the night about a tragic situation involving a death, and we did a little phone consultation with them and an assessment, and we're going to be able to help them out in their situation. We are a 24/7 operation supporting the security and private law enforcement industry, but that's not the only two fields that we support or that we have members. We have members from law enforcement, state, local, federal, who are members. We have members who are private investigators, bail enforcement, trainers and instructors, regulatory staff. We have deputy sheriffs, we have private security, we have security company owners, we have medical emergency personnel, EMTs, and then we have citizens who just support what we do, or those who retired from law enforcement or security and just want to be part of this great growing organization. So we're very happy, of course, to have them along. One of the things that we were talking about in our staff meeting this week was that we're not seeing the type of referrals from our members that we need to. Many of our members used to refer other folks to join. They used to help out and get them excited, get them on board to become members. And we're not seeing as many of those coming in as we once did. If you are listening and you're a member of POI, you're a member of this fine organization, then obviously you think it's worthwhile to join and to be a member. We need you to spread the word, spread the goodness around, and let folks know about what they're missing if they're not a member of Private Officer International. Get them on the website. We are actually redesigning the website. We hope to have that out in 2 weeks. We're spending a lot of money to get that up to snuff, up to the standard that it should be for the 21st century, and it's going to look fantastic. It's really going to glow. And we want you to get them on that new website. We want you to get them signed up. And if you're the owner, the manager of the company, shame on you if you don't talk with them, if you don't use our service, if you don't use our training, if you don't get them excited about having an organization like Private Officer International that's out there supporting them and getting them involved with all of the things that they can do as being a member of Private Officer International. So please, 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 it's not only a money aspect. It's not just a way to support us financially, although that's definitely a huge, huge help. A lot of people think that we don't need that financial support, and we're going to talk about that also coming up, about how sponsorship in the memorial is very important. But we do. We need new blood. We need, any organization, any company, any business. It doesn't matter if it's McDonald's or Walmart or some little mom and pop store on the corner. Without business, reoccurring business, they're out of business. And that's the same way with Private Officer International. So please, get those referrals. Tell people about us. Tell people on your social media, on your Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're at, make sure that you're mentioning about this organization and all of the great stuff that it does for the private security and law enforcement and public safety across the country and around the world. We're going to take our first, number one, break. We got a couple of messages coming up. When we come back into segment two, we're going to talk a little bit about the news headlines. We're going to share about what's happening. We're going to talk about the unfortunate milestone that we hit this week. And we're going to talk about in segment three, about the things we know about the six emergencies, critical situations where officers get hurt the most. And sometimes they just aren't aware of how dangerous the situation is. We're going to talk about how to escape that violence when we come back. Right after the words, right after these, we say commercials. They're not really commercials. They're actually public service announcements, PSAs. And we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Yes, Jim?
What are life jackets?
Correct!
I'll stick with life jackets for 400.
They come in new lightweight styles, perfect for any boating activity. Jim?
What are life jackets?
Yes!
Life jackets for 600, please.
Emergencies on the water happen too fast to reach them if they are stowed. Darlene?
What are anchors?
No, I'm sorry. Jim?
What are life jackets?
Correct!
Be a winner. Boat smart. Boat safe. Wear it. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council.
All right, we are back this morning, Thursday, the 29th of June, 2017. I'm your host, Rick McCam. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, broadcasting live today from the D.C. metro area, where we are teaching. We are in the city, the capital city, for several days, teaching one of our clients' employees and talking about safety and a number of other security-related issues. Now, we're going to talk a little bit for a few minutes about some of the breaking news stories. Believe it or not, down in Daytona Beach, Florida this week, police there actually closed down the entire mall to locate three female shoplifters. Police responded to Volusia Mall after they say three women were spotted shoplifting from a number of stores. Police also say they were wanted for shoplifting at another nearby mall called Tanger Outlet, and police guarded every exit of the mall, had additional officers, mall security. They went through that place looking for the three women. They finally arrested three Tampa women, Renisha Grisham Tolliver, 24, Arnisha Williams, 23, and Raven Wimbush, 26, all were corralled inside the Volusia Mall after officers conversed all over that complex. They're accused of stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, and evidently law enforcement there said that they consider that an organized retail crime and that it's much more severe than just a normal shoplifting, and that's why they went to such extremes. In North Carolina over the weekend, police arrested a security guard and the owner of the Night Train Bar after multiple people were shot there at 3:45 a.m. Police say that the security guard and the owner of the bar interfered with law enforcement there in Pitt County, North Carolina, and were involved in obstruction, destroying evidence, delaying law enforcement. So they faced a laundry list of charges, and they're being held on $1 million bond. That's just an extremely high bond, but considering what they're being charged with, the judge in North Carolina felt that was more than fair. At a Target store in Nashville, Tennessee, right there on White Bridge Road in the west end of the city, Music City, two Target store customers were stabbed, or shot, rather, several times during an attempted robbery Monday night at about 8:45 p.m. Police in Metro Nashville say that the shooting happened outside of the store. It was not involving the store itself. The victims were transported to a nearby hospital. I would assume that would be St. Thomas, but it could have been Vanderbilt. Nonetheless, investigators say that the crime is still under investigation and that no subjects were taken into custody. Another story coming out of San Francisco, this one from also Sunday, of another mall that was placed on lockdown. A huge police presence, police in riot gear, in fact, stormed the mall after multiple people were involved in fights, causing a huge ruckus there at the mall. It had to be locked down by San Francisco police. Officers made a number of arrests. Several officers were assaulted. This is not the first time that the Westfield Mall there in San Francisco, it must be, I haven't had coffee this morning, guys. I mean, you know, give me a break. San Fran at the Westfield Mall, police say that the mall stayed closed for a number of hours, but did eventually open back up. An unfortunate situation out of Durham, North Carolina. A school resource officer there is facing rape and kidnapping charges after he was arrested for multiple sexual offenses with a minor, a student at the school. The SRO, who's been with the Durham County Sheriff's Department for a number of years, faces more than a half a dozen different charges. And unfortunately, he's being held currently without bond. It's always a sad situation when law enforcement does get themselves in a situation where they cross the line. In Kansas, a security officer was killed over the weekend in Eudora, Kansas. Police there say that Danny W. Queen, 36, has been charged with that one count of murder after he shot and killed Bo Matthew Hobson, 32, who was leading him out of a club or a bar. Police say that the suspect pulled a handgun from his pocket and shot the security officer multiple times. U.S. Security Associates, who has been sued by a number of security and former security officers in a certified class action lawsuit, say that they have settled or agreed to settle with these security officers for $21 million. It has to do with more than 7,000 hours of time that was owed to the security officers, and U.S. Security says that they're ready to settle now at this point. They're waiting for the court to approve. TSA has announced this week that in a number of their airports, they're trying out facial recognition. They say that the software and the hardware are in place at a number of locations. They're testing it, hoping that it will speed up the process of going through the security checkpoint. And they don't know how long they'll be testing it, but they hope to have a report by the end of the year. Also in the news, a very tragic situation coming out of Chicago, Illinois. An off-duty Chicago police officer and a 27-year-old woman were killed in a crash in Chicago after they sped off from a traffic stop. Now, police were looking for a vehicle that matched the one that the off-duty officer was driving and tried to pull it over. Unfortunately, the off-duty officer pulled over and then continued on a high-speed chase, eventually crashing and killing the young lady, passenger, and himself. Police say they had no idea that it was an off-duty police officer in the Jeep, but that they would have pursued him anyways because of the number of traffic offenses that had been committed. Police have not released the identity of the officer, but do say he was 27 years old. Also, coming out of Missouri, in Jefferson County, Missouri, police there say that a security officer working at a fireworks stand said that a man pulled a gun on him after a dispute. The security officer was able to pull his stun gun and subdue the armed man until deputy sheriffs arrived and took him into custody. Nobody was injured in that situation, which is a real good thing. Also out of Miami, Florida, a former casino security guard there has pled guilty to the murder of a Brinks security guard in 2011. While a security officer at the Calder Casino and Race Course, the security officer and several other people conspired to rob a Brinks armored guard. A security officer, 27-year-old Olivo Lopez Romes, was killed during that robbery. The trial has gone on for a number of years, and he was resentenced, and he pled guilty this past week. In Memphis, Tennessee, a security guard there has been arrested after shooting a Kroger shoplifter. Police in Memphis say that the security officer, Gregory Towner, 24, is charged with aggravated assault and reckless endangerment. There was an actual shoplifting. A man did steal about $100 worth of meat, but after trying to pursue the suspect, he saw him running into a vehicle and fired several rounds, injuring the man. Shoplifter at that point. In West University, Texas, police are investigating an armored car robbery and an assault of the security officers that happened at the Bank of America at 9700 block of Stella Link. Police say the suspects were wearing camouflage and ski masks and were heavily armed. The security officer was assaulted and was injured, but he's going to be fine. Police are still looking for the two suspects today. Also in the news, a loss prevention agent in Portland, Oregon, evidently decided instead of protecting the store, she would steal from it. She's accused of stealing upwards to $300,000 of merchandise and money from the Fred Meyer store there. They know, they've confirmed that she stole at least $18,000 from the grocery store, but they believe she may have stole as much as $300,000. Emily J. Tallman, 35, is currently in custody in Portland, and there's no word as to whether or not she's going to be released on bond. In Modesto, California, a security officer working at a Social Security Administration office last year was assaulted by a man that he was trying to escort out of the office who was just really causing a disturbance. And evidently, the suspect, Matthew Fearon Blair, assaulted the security officer, injuring him, injuring his head and face. Well, this week he was found guilty of assaulting the security officer and given federal time instead of state time since the crime occurred on federal property. I bet he wasn't aware of that situation. If you assault somebody or committed a crime on federal property, you're going to be prosecuted more than likely federally. So Mr. Blair was sentenced to almost 9 years in prison for that assault. Very large sentence for the crime, kind of unheard of, but because it happened on federal property, it was prosecuted federally. And when you're in federal prison, you serve day to day. Every day that you're sentenced, whether it's, you know, 300 days, 5,000 days, 10 years, you're going to serve every day. There's no good time, no early out. You're there for the duration. Norfolk, Virginia police say that a security guard at a hotel and three others have been charged with murder. They evidently set up a man by the name of Pete Kane, and the four of them conspired to rob him and did eventually kill him. The security officer says that he really wasn't anything more than the driver, but David William Barrington, the security officer from the hotel, has also been charged with murder and is waiting trial. We said at the beginning of this segment that we have some really disheartening news. We kind of said as we were going to the PSAs in the first segment as well, but we did hit a tragic milestone this weekend. We have now seen 60 security officers killed so far in the line of duty in 2017. 60 security officers. We are on track right now to hit about 130 security officers if it continues on the track that it has for the last 6 months. We also, for the first time this year, we have seen the number of security officers who die from medical conditions on duty, such as heart attacks, rise about 40%, maybe 50%. Usually we see 3 or 4 or 5 heart attack type situations during the year. Right now we're at 10, so it's more than doubled, actually. The same is true with on-duty vehicle accidents. We're seeing more security officers killed in traffic collisions than in years past. Now, normally we say, you know, we have a lot of security officers killed, and the reason why it's different than law enforcement is that with law enforcement, many police officers are killed in the line of duty during traffic collisions and during training situations and other non-felonious assault. This year, we're not probably going to be able to say that because the number of on-duty deaths related to heart attacks and traffic accidents really have increased pretty substantial. And I'm kind of surprised, to be honest with you. But in talking with my colleagues and others in the industry, we know that security officers are very mobile these days. Security officers at one time were confined to guard shacks and access control points. Their duties was basically to sit there and check people in. Now, You know, private security officers are very active. They're on patrol. They're engaging the public very much more than ever before. Very proactive, stopping suspicious persons and others involved in criminal activity, detaining people, in some cases actually making physical arrest. We also know that more proprietary and contract security firms are using vehicle patrols. They're responding to alarm calls, calls for assistance at businesses and other clients. Many businesses use this as a model in their business plan. We also know that some security firms, and definitely proprietary in-house security, respond to crimes in progress. They use vehicles, bicycles, to cover more area, to respond to calls for service, and to be more efficient. So, yes, we do understand that these factors and the physical condition of older security officers, many places have, you know, older men and women on the job, are definitely going to continue to contribute to the increase of on-duty deaths, unlike in years past. So besides being attacked, besides being shot and killed and run down, now we're dealing with more and more physical incidents of on-duty deaths and car crashes. We're going to take one more break. We're going to go over here and do a couple of things while you guys listen to a couple of PSAs. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the six different very serious situations that can become very violent very fast. We call them the danger zones, and how to escape that violence. In the meantime, you guys chill out, get a cup of coffee. This Thursday morning, it's going to be a beautiful day, and we'll be right back. We're also going to talk about, of course, the memorial service and how you can get involved with Private Officer International.
For my wife.
My husband still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. And how cool is that?
Hi, I'm Corporal Dion Washington with the Gwinnett County Police Department. Take gun safety and education seriously. You could save the life of your child or someone else's. A gun owner's most important responsibility is keeping it out of the wrong hands. Always keep guns stored, locked, and out of reach of children by using a locked cabinet, safe, or gun vault. Parents, don't tell kids they are too young to talk about gun safety. If they don't learn correctly from you, they may learn from their friends, television, and video games. As kids get older, revisit the gun safety conversation based on their level of maturity. Remember to make it real and relatable for them. And kids, remember, if you see a gun, stop. Don't touch it, leave the area, and immediately tell an adult.
Edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio Program, broadcasting live from the D.C. the capital region of the U.S. on this Thursday morning, the 29th of June, 2017. You know, we get a lot of new members. We get a lot of new followers on social media, a lot of folks who read our news, blogs, and magazine. And we're always, every other day or so, we're getting folks asking how can they get involved, how can they be part of what's happening with POI and Armor, and how can they help the industry that they work in, and how can they make a difference and do it all through POI. Well, first of all, it's a lot of things. I mean, there's really a ton of stuff happening at POI, so it really depends on what you're looking to do. Now, if you want to get involved and be active in making some changes in the business, then I recommend that you get on board with the legislative committee. We keep track of situations happening in states. We keep track of the training requirements, the licensing requirements, and we try to work either through the regulatory commission or the state legislators. We write letters and emails. We talk to legislators. Just talked to a state representative about changing some laws in one of the states up north. He was very receptive to that. We also have been called before hearings when we meet before a committee who is looking at changing training or regulatory requirements of the security industry. We explain why certain things need to change and how to change them. And we also are frequently called upon to do research whenever a law is about to change or be added. And we provide statistical data to those legislators and committees to help them to be better informed. If you are concerned about whether or not your state or the states in whole are training security officers properly or equipping them or licensing them, then the legislative committee is for you. We get together via teleconference a few times a year, more than that when we're working on a project as I am right now. If you'd like to help security personnel and private law enforcement injured in the line of duty or those killed in the line of duty, then become part of the Benevolent Response Team. We have a number of members that we can call on in different regions whenever a security officer is killed or injured in the line of duty. And we kind of help with them coordinating, getting services, benevolent services to that officer, whether that person is a member of POI or not. That's not really important at that time. And thankfully, we've had a number of our members really give us a heads up whenever something's happening in their area so that we can call the employer and even call the officer direct and see if we can be of assistance. A couple of years ago, we helped a security company that was not even a member of POI. They had a firebombing at their office, and we helped to bring them some supplies. We offered some other assistance. Just recently, I offered and helped a security officer to meet some financial needs while he was recuperating after being injured. We talk about this pretty frequent. You know, security officers don't make a lot of money. Most companies don't provide any type of health insurance. They're supposed to have workers' comp, which covers just about 70% of your salary. But if you're only making $300 a week and 70% of that's only $210 when you're recuperating at home, so it's, you know, it's not a lot of money. It's not even enough to pay the bills. So we're here to try to help them get through that recuperation, that medical situation, the best that we can, or if they have other situations happening. So if you're interested in helping your fellow man, then obviously the Benevolent Response Team would be for you. We also have a couple of other committees, recruitment and training. If you want to be involved in any of the committees or response teams or in marketing or anything else, the best way to get the information is just send an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to be your go-to email address, and contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. They will get the information to you. They will contact the appropriate person, and we'll get you going in one of these services. If you're interested in maybe opening up a armor school, you can send an email to the help desk, either at privateofficer.com or armorcollege.org, and they will get you that information and an interview and start the process with you. So many different ways and methods that you can be involved. In fact, we talked a moment ago about the memorial services. Every year we have memorial services to honor and recognize private officers who have been killed in the line of duty. This year is no different, and we definitely need your help. You can either sponsor a memorial service at your location. You can donate. Go online at privateofficer.com. Click on the benevolent area and donate. You can contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll tell you how to help us to provide either memorial sponsorship, donations, or some other thing that you want to do for the memorial week and the memorial services. See, I told you, there's always something for you to do and always a way for you to be involved. We cannot do it alone. We cannot do it by ourselves. We have a small staff. We have a team of volunteers. And then we have our members. And that's what's really supporting this organization. And a lot of people think it's a lot bigger than it is. We do have a large association. We just don't have a large support team. So please get involved. Donate. You can donate every month, in fact. And we are a not-for-profit corporation. So you are going to receive the benefit of that. And it's always going to be a blessing to help someone or something that really has a great cause. And I believe that we do have a great cause. We often get people who want to know how to follow us. I always tell them we do have a number of social medias platforms, but the best way really is just follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/privateofficer, or on Facebook, same thing. We post a lot of news and information on Facebook, and the same is duplicated on Twitter. And we also will often post information at our other social media sites. But to be frank with you, you know, we don't have a lot of time to post a lot of different locations. So if you go to Twitter and Facebook, you're going to be good to go, and you'll be able to stay on top of what's happening at POI. And, of course, follow our news. Sign up at privateofficer.com right there at the top of the page to get all of the breaking news and our daily newsletters in your mailbox. Just for a couple of moments, we want to talk about the danger zones. Situations that we know 100% are dangerous, not only to private security, but to law enforcement. The number one situation that security and law enforcement get involved in every day, sometimes not even knowing what's happening until it's too late, is crimes in progress. You can walk up and see something suspicious and realize, oh, well, this is a burglary, this is a theft, this is a drug activity. You may not even know what's happening until it's too late, till you're in the mix, you're in the middle. Crimes in progress are very dangerous because you don't know who's involved, you don't know what's going on, you don't know if they're armed, you don't know if they're escaped prisoner. You do know it's a crime in progress. So if you're dispatched to a crime in progress, If you are told about a crime in progress, you get a report of a crime in progress, make sure that you have either two-way radio communication with the dispatch or other officer, or I often tell people, use your cell phone. Call 911. Tell them that you're approaching a possible robber, a theft suspect. Keep them on the line. Put them on the speakerphone so they can monitor while they are dispatching officers. Another scenario, a situation, incident that often officers get hurt is traffic stops. I know a lot of security do not conduct actual physical traffic stops. Private police do, law enforcement do, but there are some security officers who do conduct traffic stops. In fact, recently there was an article about a security staff in Atlanta stopping vehicles for traffic infractions at a condominium. And even if the vehicle is parked, when you approach that vehicle, it's still a very dangerous situation. You always want to approach them tactfully, try to get on the passenger side, try to catch them off guard, stay a distance, keep a good officer presence, make sure that you have good observation of what's happening in the vehicle, how many people are in there, and if you even think that it's a dangerous situation and something bad's about to happen, get the heck out of there. Go someplace safe. Get back in your car. Run away if you have to until additional backup gets there. Arresting and detaining a person, 1.6 million people were detained by private security, mostly LP agents, loss prevention and retail security, for shoplifting, theft, and other crimes that happen in the big box stores and the shopping malls, but uniform security also made hundreds of thousands of detentions and arrests. Many states allow security officers to arrest people. Unfortunately, there's no real statistic state to state to say how many people were arrested by security, but these are dangerous situations, danger zones. We know that some people are going to be non-compliant. They're going to be resisting. They're going to be fighting. They're going to even hurt you or try to kill you when you are detaining or arresting. Always do it in the safest manner possible. But if you don't feel like you can address that situation by yourself, leave it. Call backup. Get assistance. And then go in and take care of business. Domestic violence is another situation that security officers do get involved in, whether it's at an apartment complex or a hotel situation. Security officers do have to address domestic violence. And as you know, with law enforcement, they still continue to say the two most dangerous things that police are involved in are traffic stops and domestics, because they can turn any way. You just don't know what's going to happen. You arrest the offender who committed the domestic violence, and all of a sudden the spouse, the boyfriend, the girlfriend jumps on your back and starts pounding away at you. You just don't know. Make sure that if you can't take care of the situation safely, leave it. Call for backup. Get assistance. Disruptive, disorderly, defiant persons. We did a whole webinar about this, and we put the audio track on the radio program. Hope that you have listened to it by now. A lot of good information in there. There's certainly a lot more disruptive, disorderly, defiant people today than in recent years, that's for sure. People will become very disorderly over the smallest of things, and if you're alone and somebody is defiant, non-compliant, argumentative, you're in a situation where you could get hurt or even killed. Again, anytime that you're approaching this type of person, group, situation, make sure you call 911. Make sure you get on the two-way radio. Get backup coming to you immediately. And last but not least, we know that a danger zone often occurs, it often involves people who are on drugs, alcohol, or mentally unstable. They have mental health issues. Again, these are situations that could turn dangerous at any time. And when we're alone, especially, it's very important that you call ahead and get some help on the way. Yes, you can be injured at any time. I want that said loud and clear. I want it in your head day and night. Wherever you're working, it doesn't matter the type of job, post, assignment, the type of city, the size of the city, the size of the town. It doesn't matter if you're in a church, a shopping mall, or down at the factory. Workplace violence, active shooters, defiant, disorderly. Hey, it happens hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times a day involving security and private law enforcement. It's not something that's happening in L.A., Detroit, and Houston only involving law enforcement. It's involving private officers and public officers alike. We want you to work smart, work safe, and keep this in mind. You are only one person, and if you don't think that you can manage the threat, that you can secure a prisoner, that you can handle a disorderly defiant subject, get the heck out of Dodge. No shame in the game to turn and flee until additional resources get there. It's unfortunate that security officers often, more times than not, do work alone. It's unfortunate that we know that they do not have proper communication. Do not. They don't have backup. We want you to be smart, be safe. And if you even think that you're about to get into a bad, bad situation, we want you to call 911 and wait for officers to arrive. That's going to do it. We're done for this edition, Thursday morning edition, June the 29th, 2017, of the Private Officer Beat. So, like I always say, thanks for listening. Be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.